We want to say good morning to you, and certainly it is a joy, honor, and privilege to be back with you again this year, and we thank you so very much for your continued partnership with us at Cornerstone as we share God's love with those in the South Dallas community. We could not do what we do without your partnership for so many years, and again, we are very humbled by Valley Ranch's support, not only during the Christmas season, but all year long to be able to help us to minister. So thank you so much. After all of these years of coming to Valley Ranch, we're still trying to figure out how we can do all of what you do in less than 2.5 hours. But we think we're going to get there one day. Let us pray. Father, how we count it a privilege and honor to come before your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And we pray now that as we look into your word, that you would speak a word to challenge and inspire us, Lord. We pray, God, that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you again so much. Pastor Larry sent me a couple of weeks ago that you were going through a series on prayer, and today, the prayer of unity out of John chapter 17, beginning with verse 23, where Jesus prays, "My prayer," John chapter 17, verse 20, "is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved me even as you have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who who you have given to me to be with me where I am and see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them." And so this morning out of John's chapter 17, we want to talk about a prayer of unity. The question is, if you were to die tomorrow, what things would be on your mind? What things would you talk about? What things would you pray for? And that is the situation where we face, and we are in the text today, John chapter 17 rather. It is the night, the day before his death, when Jesus will die for the sins of mankind. And he spends time in communication with his Father in what's known as this high priestly prayer. This prayer that he prays in three parts. One, we're going to see that he would be glorified as the Son that has come to save the world. Two, we're going to see that his disciples would be sanctified, that they would be set apart to continue to do the work that they have been called and commissioned to do. And three, that the disciples, his followers, you and I, would be unified, that we would stand as one, that we would work as one, that we would be a living testimony to the world that is around us. As Jesus prays about being glorified, just briefly, we find out that his prayer, as he is coming to the end of his journey, chapter 17, verse 1, he is looking up towards heaven. In fact, it says after he says this, the reality that he understands that he is about to die, that he is about to go to his Father. And he is, as he is about to go to his Father, his prayer is in this to his Father, with whom he has had an intimate relationship with, is, Father, my hour has come. Throughout the book of John, we see over and over again as Jesus is ministering, in fact, several places in John chapter 2, verse 4, in John chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, in John chapter 7, verse 30, and in John chapter 8, verse 20, he says over and over again that my hour has not yet come. There is still work for me to do. But now in John chapter 17, verse 1, he says, my hour has come. My work on earth is about to be completed. And my prayer, God, as I've come to the end of my journey, is that you would be glorified in my life. That you would receive the glory, the honor out of my life. And even though this is the prayer of Jesus, who lived a perfect life, can you imagine if at the end of our journey, we could say, Lord, we want you to be glorified in all that we do, in all that we say. That was Jesus's prayer. I want you to glorify your son. Jesus goes on in his conversation and his prayer with the Father as his disciples are there evidently hearing this prayer. Says, for God, you have granted me authority that I might give eternal life to those that you have been given to me. And not only give eternal life, God, but I want you to understand that this eternal life is more than just longevity. It has to do with quality of life, because this is life eternal, that they would know you, that they would have a personal relationship, that there would be a sense of intimacy with you, God, that they would know you and know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, that's what my life has been. God, that's what my life has been as Jesus is praying to the Father. A life that's pleasing unto you. A life that I want to hear you say, well done. You've done a good job. And that was his prayer. Lord, God, be glorified. But he goes on, and not only in his prayer, asking the Father to be glorified in his life, but he goes on even in the prayer to ask that the disciples would be set apart, that they would be sanctified for the mission for which Jesus would send them on. Goes on in verse 6 of John 17 and says, I have revealed you to those whom you had gave me out of this world. They were yours, and the Father, you have given them to me, and they have been obedient to your word. Now, they know everything that you've given to me. They've accepted your word and been obedient to your word. And my prayer for them, to those who have responded to this message, my prayer, verse 9, is that my prayer for them is, I am not praying for the world, but for those that you have given to me, for they are yours. They are yours. And Lord, my prayer is that the glory has come to me through them, through their lifestyle, looking at where you have brought them from, and what you have done through them, and how you have used these men who many had cast aside and thought would probably never amount to anything. But Lord, you had something great in their lives. And as we look about the change and transformation that had taken place in the lives of Jesus' disciples, Jesus says, God, they bring me glory, they bring me honor, because of the change that has come about through them. My prayer, God, as you have now chosen them and using them, as I am challenging them to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be on mission for you in the world around them. My prayer, God, is you would protect them. You would protect them by the power of your name. And God, as they are in this world, as we're going to see, as they are in this world, and they are treading on Satan's territory, and the evil one desires to bring them down. My prayer, Holy Father, is that you will protect them by your name, the name that you have given me, so that in the midst of all that they are experiencing, and the temptation of the devil to separate them and divide them, pray, God, that they would be one as we are one. God, I'm praying for my disciples, for these followers, for those who will be coming after me, because I recognize my mission here on earth is coming to a close, and I won't be with them always. In fact, he says, verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things that while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of your joy within them. Even though I won't physically be with them, God, I want you to ignite within them the joy and the peace that only you can provide them. Yes. Yes, they're about to go through some challenges. It won't be easy. In fact, he goes on, verse 4, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, and they have hated them because of me. They've got some challenges. And the temptation would be to isolate them, for them just to go and hide in a corner, to not be bothered. But they have a great responsibility to the world around them, to give them hope, even in the midst of darkness, to give them hope, even while the world is hating them. Because he goes on, my prayer, verse 15, is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. God, use them, protect them, keep them, help them to be light in the midst of darkness. They've got an awesome responsibility to share your love with the world that is around them, a world that despises and hates them. But my prayer is as they sanctify themselves, as they are set aside for you, that you would protect them and use them greatly. Sanctify them by your truth. Help them to grow in your word, grow closer in intimacy with you. As they draw from the truth of your word, God, our prayer is that you would do a work in their lives. Jesus, prays that he would be glorified. His prayer is that the disciples would be sanctified, set apart. And as they are set apart for God's use in the world, Jesus recognized that there's going to be opposition. And so my prayer is that you would protect them. But his third prayer is where we are today. In my prayer, verse 20, on the day before he's about to die, my prayer for them, my prayer is not for them, the disciples alone, but I pray for you, people like you and I. He prays for you and I. He looks down the corridor of time, thousands of years, and recognize that as we are on this journey, we were going to need prayer. I pray for those who would believe in me through the witness of my disciples, through the witness of those who would go out and share the message. My prayer is, verse 21, is that they might be one. That they might be unified. That they might stand together. Why? Why would Jesus' prayer for believers down the corridor of time begin with praying that they would be one? That they would be unified. Because the tendency is for us to have so much disunity. The devil knows. He knows how to separate us. He knows how to divide us. Yes, we can find so many things that can separate us, cause confusion, cause chaos, cause mess. And those of you who've been Christian for a while knows that there is no mess like church mess. Do we sing out of the hymn? Or do we use praise songs? What color should the sanctuary be? What about some of the smallest things that we split churches over? Unity. Because the devil knows how to divide us. Liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, young, old, from the North, from the South, male, female, Baptist, Methodist, rich, poor. And although Jesus is not calling for us to be for uniformity, he is calling for us to be unified. And even though that we may be all different, he says you can recognize your differences. It's like a stew. In a stew, the cabbage remains the cabbage, the celery remains the celery, the onions remain the onions. But it, as we come together, it creates something beautiful. Jesus prays, Father, my prayer for my followers is that they might be one. An example of a model of that, Jesus says, is just as you are in me and I am in you and we're working together for unity, because great things happen as we are unified, as we stand together, as we walk together, as they would work together to change and transform a world around them. And you know what Jesus says, why unity is so important? Unity is so important because it is one of the keys for evangelistic outreach. It is one of the tools that God uses to bring the world to himself. See what he says? I pray that they would become one. I pray that they would become one, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, the world sees enough fighting. The world sees enough division. The world sees enough chaos. And as Pastor Larry said at the beginning of communion time, the world sees enough of that. But what the world does not see enough of is coming together. Jesus says, one of the best evangelistic tools is not the four spiritual laws, although they are very important. One of the best spiritual one of the best evangelistic tools is not evangelism explosion, although that is important. One of the best evangelistic tools is not the Roman road, although it is important. One of the best evangelistic tools is that when people see the church standing united. Amen. Remember what he says in John 13 as he is preparing his disciples for his death. How will people know you are my disciples? Not because you go to church. How will they know you are my disciples? Not because of all the good things you may do in the community. They will know you are my disciples by your love. Psalm 133, the psalmist is clear. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity as we stand together. And it doesn't mean, as I said, for uniformity. It doesn't mean that we have to put up with things that are contrary to God's word. But oftentimes, we fight over some of the smallest things. Instead of seeing the importance of our unity, things in church really should be a challenge for the things like things should operate at home. Although there may be differences, we still work together. In my home, my wife may not agree with everything that I say, but we still are unified. And then one day, when we get to heaven, she'll find out that I really was right. Notice, that is my prayer. On the night before he dies, he is calling the church. He is calling believers. He is calling you and I to stand in unity as a witness to the world so that they will believe that even though they come from different walks of life and different sides of the track, and although they may have differences, they are standing strong under the banner of the cross. Goes on, verse 23, says, not only so that they may believe that you've sent me, but verse 33, so that they would believe, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Jesus ought to make a difference. He ought to serve as the glue to hold us together. And then he says it again, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. They will know by your love. Why would Jesus challenge us to make sure we love each other down here? Why would Jesus challenge us to make sure we can walk together hand in hand down here? One of the reasons is that we're going to end up having to spend eternity together. And if you don't like me down here, it's be a terrible situation to be in heaven and not able to like folk throughout eternity. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, spending eternity together, enjoying one another. And our unity here on earth is just a preview of a coming attraction that when we all get to heaven, he will be our Father. We will be his children. Goes on. Father, we want them to be unified because we've got something greater that we're looking forward to. In fact, Father, when we get to heaven, I want to be able to usher them around heaven and show them all of my glory so that they may see the glory that you have given to me because you loved me before the creation of the world. As we are there in heaven, touring his place, he wants to be able to show off with his family, his children, all that they will enjoy throughout eternity. Yes, that is the prayer, that we will come together as one, that we would be unified, that we would truly be brothers and sisters. And as we are there unified, as we are there as the family of God, as we are there demonstrating our love, it sends a strong message to the world. They will know that he sent us. And as we are enjoying heaven throughout eternity, what greater joy than spending eternity with those whom I've already learned to love down here. He goes on, you're righteous, Father. You do things right. Though the world does not know you, I know you, and my believers know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I'm going to continue to make you known. And the reason why I'm going to continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and they will be able to share that love. As God has poured out his love in our lives through the work of Jesus Christ, our challenge is now to share that love with those around us. Someone has well said, he has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet, no mouth but our mouths, to share that love. Jesus, on the night he's about to be betrayed, lose his life, prays, Father, I want you to be glorified in my life. Prays for his disciples. I want them to be sanctified. But he prays for you and I. I want them to be unified. And as they stand together, work together, love one another, it will send a message to the world that Jesus really does make a difference. Father, our prayer is that you would help us to be unified, that we would stand with our brothers and sisters under the banner of the cross, knowing that the blood of Christ makes the difference in our lives. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Help us to be inspired and encouraged to do for those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.